Seems to me that a lot of you come up to me or Gary or some of the experts and say, I have this problem. See, I've got this product. I want to know how to market it. And you approach direct mail as a problem solving. You come up with a product and you say, how do I sell this? And that's totally wrong. Direct mail is not a contest to see who can solve the quickest the problem. What you want to do is you want to find the path of least resistance. Because you only have so many years to live. I mean, we all would like to live forever, but we don't. And if you do one direct mail project, say you only do two a year, that's one every 6 months, and you only want to be in this for 6 or 7 years, and you want to retire, you know, in Europe or someplace, that means you only can do 12. I mean, how many do you want to waste on things that aren't going to work anyway? I mean, how much of your life do you want to waste? You know, we were talking on our walk this morning about fishing. How many people have ever been fishing here? You know, when you go fishing, what a lot of people do is they go to Walmart, Kmart, someplace, and buy a real expensive rod, real expensive reels, and the pants, and the coat, and the hat, and maybe a $12,000 boat, and they go out to catch fish. And then catching fish is kind of like direct mail. And what you can do in direct mail is that you spend $10,000 or $12,000 for your computer, and your video equipment, and your software, and the paper, and the printer, and all this other stuff, and then you go fishing. Except for what most of you do once you have your computer and your printer and your software is that you don't fish with bait. What you do is you say, well, I'm going to fish with this computer just because I've got it here, so I'm going to put it on this hook. And since I've spent all this other money and I really don't have time, what I'm going to do is fish in this bucket or fish in this toilet and see what I can catch. And you spend 6 months or 8 months or 10 months paying overhead fishing in a bucket or in a toilet, and you don't catch anything. You go, well, this don't work. I'm going to go do something else. And then you go get a job at 7-Eleven. Now, you know, if your life depended on fishing, on your ability to catch a fish today, a 30-pound fish today, a 30-pound bass today, what would you do? Hopefully, what you would do is you'd find out, first of all, where somebody caught a 30-pound bass yesterday, what kind of bait they used, what time of day they caught that fish, what kind of line they used, what the sky looked like overhead, what the weather was like, and then you would do the exact same thing. I mean, it's only logical if you want to catch fish, you should, one, fish where there are fish in the water, and two, use the bait that they want, the bait that they've proven that they want to go after. When Karen and I went to Gulf Shores, we had a condo overlooking the ocean, and every day we'd sit on the balcony with our binoculars and watch the ocean and other things. And what I noticed is that people were fishing every morning at a certain time and every afternoon at a certain time. And I said, Karen, I want to go fish. So we went out and bought a fishing pole, and she said, go fishing. I said, no, I'm going to watch them for a while. And we watched and watched and watched, and finally I went down there and asked somebody how to bait a hook and how to tie these things up, because surf fishing is different. And for a few minutes I didn't catch anything, and I watched people, and I just sat in a chair and watched, and I discovered something. So I started casting my reel. And my first cast, I caught two fish on two hooks. And these old-timers come out, boy, isn't that amazing? Beginner's luck. And my second cast, I caught a fish. And on my third cast, I caught a fish. And we were giving them away. And people were coming up to us and saying, golly, how are you doing it? This is amazing. You're catching a fish in every cast. Well, the reason it was amazing is because I'm not a very good fisherman, but I am a very good observer. And what I had seen was that everybody was catching fish, was casting their lure into the 12th wave. And you could see ripples in the water at the 12th wave. I guess it was a low bar or something, where the fish were. And it was just that simple. To catch fish, you just cast out where the fish were, and you always caught fish. As a matter of fact, it got to be boring. I mean, it was real, real boring to catch fish. And that's what you want to do in direct mail. Now, you guys, if you don't want a boring life, then go fish in a toilet or go fish somewhere else, and you're not going to have a boring life. You know, there's a radio show that comes on National Public Radio on Saturdays, and it's called Click and Clack, and these are the Car Brothers, and they talk about driving cars. You know, you can drive something exciting like an Alfa Romeo that's going to break down on you and leave you stranded everywhere, and you'll live a very, very exciting life. Or you can drive something boring like a Toyota that's going to start and take you everywhere you want to be. Well, even though Karen and I can afford Alfa Romeos and Porsches, we drive Toyotas because we want that boring life. When we get in our car, we want it to start up and we want it to take it some way. And it's the same way with our direct mail business. We could try a lot of exciting, challenging products. We could try to learn to make fish bite on apples. And that would, boy, wouldn't that be exciting? Go out there all day long and fish and fish and fish with different baits. See if they'll bite rocks. Let's see if they'll bite cans of dog food. Let's throw something else in there and see if they'll bite. But we're just wasting our time and money. I mean, if we're going to go out and catch fish, let's catch fish. Let's use real bait. Let's go somewhere we know the fish are biting and the time of season that they're biting, and let's use the bait that they're biting on. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time. Now, if you're doing it for a hobby and you want to be out there just for the peace of mind and you want to get a suntan, then that's different. But if your life depends on it, or if your livelihood depends on it, or if keeping your home depends on it, or staying in business depends on it, then you ought to do it for real. And you shouldn't fool around. Now, a lot of you have products that are basically you're just fooling around. You're just kidding yourself. You're saying, hey, I got this product. Let's go out and try to sell it. Well, you're going to waste a lot of your time and probably blow most of your budget and not make any money, not having success. And I think everybody in this room who's done a single direct mail product and have ever sold one thing through the mail, that first letter got you hooked. I mean, Pat and Sandy, wasn't that way? When you got your first phone call, you were hooked for life. I mean, you'll never be able to walk away from direct mail. You ran an ad, and how many responses did you get from your first ad? 40 responses from their first ad. Now, and how much did the ad cost you? How much? Say it again. $71.40, and they got 40 responses for an $89. Now, they didn't convert those into orders. But see, they got the taste. They knew the fish were biting. They just hadn't pulled them in the boat yet. And they knew they had the right bait, but their line that they were pulling with wasn't strong enough. I mean, they didn't have the whole thing right, but they knew they were in the right place, they were in the right lake, had the right bait, but they just had a small breakdown. And when they figure that out, it's really going to make money for them. But that's what you want to do. You don't want to waste your time trying to sell something to people who don't want it. It's the same way. You don't want to waste your time out fishing in a toilet where there aren't fish. And that brings us up to what we're going to talk about this morning, or at least for the first little bit this morning. What we're going to do today, tomorrow, and the next day is we're going to do a complete direct mail offer. From concept through completion, we're going to print it out on our laser printers on the computers here. Do not get involved in the technical aspect of this. Just because you don't know how to use, if you don't know how to use a desktop publishing program or word processor, don't worry about that. I mean, it's just like using a typewriter. You can learn that on your own. For the five or six of you who are computer virgins, we're having a workshop over at our office tomorrow afternoon. You will miss some of this, but you'll also get an exposure to our computer system. You'll need to talk to Karen and sign up with that. And that's only computer virgins because the stuff we're going to show is so simple and elementary that you don't need it if you already have a computer at all, because we're just going to show you how to turn it on, and how to use Q&A, and how to use publishing software. Okay, getting back to where we were. And that is not fishing in a toilet. In your folder, you'll see some copies of papers that says List Works on them. And what we're going to look for here is a place where the fish are biting. And I'm going to talk a few minutes, and I'm going to ask Karen Anderson to come up here and help me out. Has everybody got them out? It says these are copied, and they're in this gray folder. There's several copies. They have the word List Works. By the way, I would just cross out the word List Works here on these. All right, now these are our assumptions. I want you to turn to your yellow pad and create a new, go to a new page and write project number one. Now our assumptions are that we have less than $1,000 to invest in this project. And that $1,000 means that's everything that we can put our hands on, either through our Visa, MasterCards, or our checking accounts, or credit at the printers or anywhere else, we do not want to invest more than $1,000 on this project under any circumstances. And John.
I might suggest that you put the budget above the market. And it's written up there. It'll remind everybody that we're not made of money. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Karen, please do. Stand up, though, so that we can see you.
It's too early in the morning for this.
It's too early for duets.
But we do it so well. Bill, I just wanted to ask, I've got some information to give on how to figure out what you can afford to spend on your piece. Do you want to do that at the end, or do you want to do that now?
No, we'll do that at the end.
Okay, because one of the things you need to figure out, which is why I think John put it, is you need to know, can you afford to spend $125, $1,000 for a list, or $85 for $1,000?
Well, I've got a surprise for you.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
You'll be impressed. Everybody in this room will be impressed, too. That's okay. Why this equipment is here. Okay, has everybody got your list worked out? Okay, we have a $1,000 budget. This is all the money we have to invest in a direct marketing project, a direct mail project. And if this project fails, we're probably going to lose our house. We're probably going to end up in jail, probably catch some disease that we don't want to have. You know, at the very worst, we're going to have to go live with our wife's mother. So this is what we want to do. If we only have that amount of money to invest, what we want to do is to put everything in our favor. We want to set the odds so that they're tremendously in our favor and not at all against us. And we're going to start with a completely fresh, blank sheet of paper. We don't have any preconceived ideas about who we're going to sell to or the product that we're going to sell or the price that we're going to sell to. What we want to do is come up with something that we can spend less than $1,000 total investment to generate at least enough money to roll the thing out and make us, we're not going to be greedy, let's say $30,000 over the next 30 days. Okay. Okay, our first approach, since we know, because I wrote it up on the board, is market. What that means is we're looking for some place, and I hate using this analogy, but I'm going to use it, where the fish are biting. Obviously, if we're going to sell something, if we're going to cast our hook into the waters, let's cast our hook into the waters where the fish are biting. And these lists that you have, and this is just a sample of lists available. There's 24,000 or 30,000. There's really no limit to the number of lists available. But if you call a list broker, you call Karen Anderson, and you tell her that you want a list of people who, and you have to give them a profile, the type of people you want, she can provide you these lists back. Now, because I'm a male, and I have a hard time understanding how women think, when I call my list broker, I say, I want a list that's 80% male. Now, you know, women have a tremendous advantage. They can think emotionally and logically at the same time. And they, because they have that ability, they can write an offer either emotionally or logically or combine the two. Men can think either logically or emotionally. But men can't think logically and emotionally at the same time. And women, if you're arguing with a man and you're using logic and then switch to emotion, you've lost him. He's going to say, what does that have to do with it? The reason I'm bringing that up is that if you're writing an offer or trying to sell something to somebody, don't you want to know who that person is? It's the same way. If you're fishing, don't you want to know whether you're fishing for catfish or bass? They go for different bait. It's the same way with your customer list. And you can predefine that on the front end. So our market here, because I'm weak in that area, our market here is going to be males, primarily males. So let's put that here under market. Okay, now that doesn't mean you can't sell to females. Women spend a lot of money. Women have a lot of money. It's just that for this example, that's what we're going to do. All right, now if we're going to sell to men, what age group of men should we sell to? I mean, we can also define that. Do we want to sell to men under 16? No, let's rule that out. Do we want to sell to men 16 to 30? Well, that's not too bad a market, but let's rule them out, and I'll tell you why. 16 to 30, the market, they usually don't have Visa MasterCards yet. And their lifestyles are such that they don't read their mail as much and they don't respond to certain products that we're going to sell. I'm going to go ahead and bias this. I particularly like the over 40 market, the 40 to about the 65-year-old market, because I'm closing in on that generation very quickly. That is the generation of people who have already accumulated most of the wealth they're going to accumulate in their life. They're the people who are now using that wealth to buy the things that they want. They have Visa, MasterCards. So let's just say it's going to be the 40 to 60. 40, actually, I don't want to limit it to 60 because in today's society, 60 is the equivalent of about 40 10 years ago, and 80 is the equivalent of about 60 10 years ago. So let's just say 40 to 80, because some of the sharpest people I know are in their 80s. Now, the reason we want to know the age group is the terminology we're going to use and the tone of the letter that we're going to write them, right? If they're 40 to 80 and we go in talking about Rapper D and MTV and VH1 and talk about things that are, they're not a part of their generation, that may even turn them off, then we're wasting our time. But if we can contact with them, connect with them, with their values, with the things that they like in life, the things they dislike in life, then we have a much better chance of tuning in to what they want. Okay, so we have males 40 to 80. You know, something else we want them to have is money. We don't want them to be poor. We don't want them to be destitute. We want them to have money. And actually, we'd like to have as much money as we can get. So we want people who have money to spend. So let's just put there, let's say upper, middle, or above income. Okay, so we know they got money, we know they're males, we know they're over 40. That's good. What else do we want to know about them? Well, we're going to try to sell them something through the mails, right? We want somebody, therefore, who has shown a pattern or a habit of buying things through the mail. We don't want to train them how to buy things through the mail. We want them to already be happy with buying things through the mail. As a matter of fact, we want them to look forward to the things they get in the mail because they're going to buy them. And we want a demonstrated habit where they have demonstrated probably in the last 3 months, no longer than the last 3 months, that they have bought something through the mail. So let's put that a pattern of buying through the mail. Now, because we are probably exceptionally greedy and because we don't want to fail, not only do we want them to have purchased something through the mail in the last 3 months, we want them to purchase something for at least $300 so that we know that they are not afraid to spend at least $300 per product. So let's say purchase is in excess of $300. Let's say over $300, price over $300. So what do we got here? We have males over 40, upper middle class or above as far as income. They have a pattern of buying through the mail, and they're willing to spend over $300. It's a pretty good market. I mean, that's a pretty good market. All we need to do now is find out what these people want, right? How do we do that? You see where it says price over $300? Let's find out what they bought. All we got to do is figure out what they paid $300 for in the last 3 months, because they were probably pretty excited about that. At least it shows they're interested in that, and that's where these lists come in. If you look at your list, the list breakout, let's look at the first list. The first one in my pile is Philip Wing and Company, CalSTAR. Make sure that it says that at the top of your page. You can bring, yeah, you can if you want. Karen says you can't read my writing, so she's going to put something up. Hopefully you're writing this stuff down. Okay, does everybody look at this list? Okay, it says Philip Wing and Company, CalSTAR, right at the top of it. You have several of these in your folder, so be sure you've got the right one out. That's it. Okay. Now, regardless of who you get lists from, they're going to come in this format. They're just going to be printed on a different type of paper. The first thing you see, it says there's 3,217 last 3 months hotline buyers. That's kind of good. We, at least we got 2,700 people we might be able to sell something to. You see the price there, $75 slash M? M means per thousand. We have 13,000 last 6 months buyers, 39,000 last 12 months buyers, and 70,000 last 24 months buyers. For our exercise, we wouldn't be interested in anybody who's bought anything in longer than the 3 months, which is good. I think that number is really probably, is it 3,217 last month buyers or 8,000? Eight, okay, that's good. That's good for our test. Okay, let's see what this company is about. It says, Philip Wing Company, Castor, markets collectible coins, stamp sets, and other items directly to consumers through catalogs, solo, direct mail promotions, and space advertisements. Majority of these buyers are sophisticated collectors and serious investors. The word serious investors means they're in heat. Nearly 50% of these buyers have financed their purchase through time payment programs offered by Castor, and that's a negative. Mark that as a negative, because we don't want to offer any kind of financing other than Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Well, let's go ahead and see what's on this list. Minimum order is $5,000. That's not bad. They're available in 4-up chest or pressure-sensitive labels. We don't want those. MagTape, that's the way we want it. Or MagTape is a 9-track computer tape, which you can convert to computer disk. The reason you want labels on your MagTape is so that you can direct address them. If we're selling something to somebody for $300 or more, we don't send a dear occupant letter, do we? What we do is we have his name on it. We have information on it. All right, let's look on the side of this, and it says sex. 60% are male. That's good. Average unit of sale, $280. That's pretty good. And then there's some other information about selections. You can have prepaid buyers. These are people who paid up front. Remember, we told them we don't want anybody who financed, so they can give us the people who paid up front. We can buy them by the state. We can buy them by other codes here. But, you know, there are a couple things I don't like about this, and the fact is that they're not up to our $300 price list, and some of them finance their stuff. So, but that's a pretty interesting list, but let's not use it. Let's look at some of the other lists here. The next list in my pile is American Coinage Collectors Series. Now, this list, you'll notice a lot of these people are coin investors. The one good thing about people who invest in coins, if they buy them right, is that they still have their money. You're spending money to buy money, but you still have money. It's not like spending money on something that you can't resell. So coin investors, in most cases, are relatively liquid. And it's not like that. Once they've blown their money, that's all they've got. They don't have anything else to resell. So when times get tough, which they are right now, coin investors still got money. It's in the form of coin, but it's a liquid asset. Okay, our second list here, you can see that it's 65% male. You can select an average. You can select male or female. The average unit of sale is $44 to $179. You can see what they're selling here. And then there's Ellsworth Collectibles. And here this is a list of high-ticket mail order buyers who have purchased various high-ticket collectibles like figurines, trays, gold items. Now, this is an interesting list. It's not a list I want to sell to. Okay. This is a list. You see the second list here? It says Ellsworth Collectibles on the same page. You know why I don't like this list? Can somebody tell me why I don't like this list? 80% female. And look what they bought. They bought figurines, trays, gold items, plates, and just about every type of collectible item that is popular today. That's not specific enough for me. And I can't figure out why anybody would buy a figurine, so I'd have a hard time selling one. Again, men in this room, we can't figure this out. Well, ladies in this room, this would be a list that you could probably sell them something. And you know they've spent, here's something else I don't like. Average unit of sale, $15 to $60. We don't want to fool with them. So let's look at another list. I'm going to go through here. As a matter of fact, why don't you go through them, see if you can find me a good list that meets our people here, what we want. We're going to find the best one we can out of this pile. Actually, the information I just told you, you could tell Karen Anderson, and she could print you out a report that gave you exactly this. But we're going to look through our pile, and this is exactly what you'll do when you do a direct mail piece. You'll look through these lists. Now, the SRDS book has 22,000 of these listed in there. It's a lot easier just to call a broker and say, send me some lists. Yeah, that's the one I like. Federal Coin Fund. Let's all look at that. Oh, yeah, I like that one. Federal Coin Fund. Do you see that one? All right, let's look at the Federal Coin Fund. The first thing we see is the unit, average unit of sale, $370. Hey, that's good. That's a plus. That means that these people have spent $370. Federal Coin Funds are private, numismatic. That means that they sell coins. They probably create the coins themselves. It's a great business for you to get in. Silver sells for today $4.30 an ounce. You can create an ounce coin, call it commemorative, and sell it for $100. You could do a commemorative of the L.A. riots and have people running out of stores carrying TV sets on a little silver coin. A limited edition, no more than 100,000 be printed up. Okay, the Federal Coin Funds are private, which offers 100% mail order, 100%. We like that. 100% mail order buyers of gold and silver coin sets. Now, that's important. Let's remember the word gold. These guys are buying gold and silver. That's real specific. We know what the products are, gold and silver. And special limited edition mintings. Hey, maybe we will do the L.A. riots. Okay, buyers and direct response generated by solo mailing. Oh, that's good. Direct mailing. These guys are buying direct mailing, postcards and space ads. Offerings generally start at a minimum of $269. So we know these guys are getting mail every single day with products for at least $269. So when they get our offer for our product, which will be around $300, they're not going to be shocked. They're not going to say, well, you know, I was getting all these offers for these doodads for $12 and $15, and I got this direct mail offer for $300. Well, these guys think I'm a nut. But the reality is, we sent him something for $300. He probably got five or six pieces of mail recently for something that had $300. Matter of fact, he spent that much money on something he got last month. Okay, some of the guys have spent as much as $10,000. $10,000 through the mails. Can you imagine that? You know, when I worked for a living once, there was a person in our office who also worked there, and she was from India, and UPS kept delivering her package, and I said, well, what is this in the package? And she said, I'm buying gold coins. And I said, what do you mean gold coins? She goes, I'm buying gold. And from India, that was her custom. Families would accumulate wealth in gold coins. And she was spending $1,000 to $2,000 a day to have somebody deliver them gold. And I'm thinking, I cannot believe she trusts these guys in these little brown suits to come deliver this package, and she gives them cash. Back then, UPS wasn't very well known. Now it's nothing. You know, every day our company gets shipped products that we pay $3,000 and $4,000 for, and we ship out products that people pay $3,000 and $4,000 for because we all trust UPS. You know, you couldn't do what we do in any other country because UPS and the direct mail system don't exist like they do here. Okay. Customers are invited to order by a toll-free 800 number. 62% of customers use a credit card. Guess which 62% of the people on this list we want? Credit card people. That's the only people we want. Credit card people. Customer purchase should be regarded as investment grade. Collectibles indicate that they have high discretionary incomes. Okay, that's good. And this is, they also have some other information. They advertise in Time Life, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today.
Why just the credit card? Are the others cash?
Do you want to fool with cash?
What?
You want to fool with cash? Now, remember, we're working on a limited budget, right? So we're going to be greedy. We're going to pick the cream of the crop. If we mail our offer to the 62% with just credit cards and it works, hey, we'll go ahead and mail it to the rest. Well, you'll use our profits from that to mail to the rest. But right now, what we want to do is stack the odds so much in our favor that we can't lose. How many of you want to get in a direct mail offer where you're probably going to lose? Oh, that's good. That's good. You learned something. Okay, now we got this great, great list. There's 15,000 quarterly hotline buyers. That's going to cost us $100. Okay, so on our budget is going to blow real quick. Let's say we're going to buy, what's the minimum order here? 5,000. We're going to have to buy 5,000 names. So that's going to cost us $500. Hey, Karen?
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape over now for side two.
Karen, would you come up here and keep track of these accounts? Because I don't do numbers. We just spent $500 for a list, and we don't even have a product. Of course, they're not going to send us the list yet until we send them our offer. But we can, in our mind, we know we're going to spend $500. We can probably raise that on a credit card if we have to. So we're going to spend $500 there. Now, what we know is that we have, let's put this over here on the list. Yeah, $500 on our budget. Say we spend $500. Yeah, just put a minus $500 for the labels.
Mm-hmm.
Mark. What?
Bill.
Does it say credit card buyers, we have to pay extra for credit?
Bill, does anybody, you're going to sell a $300 product to a market of men who buy everything on credit card between the ages of 40 and 80, and your budget is $1,000.
Right.
This budget includes, as I understand it, the cost of the list, the cost of the mail, the cost of the postage, not counting any sweat equity.
Right.
Is there anything incongruous in your mind about that?
It's tough to do.
Tough?
If
you're
going to
buy a mailing list, I would say it's damn near impossible.
That's right, and that's the way you want to do it. You want to say, this is all I'm going to put in this project. Because if you say, well, I'll spend whatever it takes, then you've made the mistake you talk about. You've fallen in love with the project. And when we do projects, this is what we spend. Of course, we sometimes go overboard, and we'll spend $2,200. But we rarely spend more than $1,000 to $1,200 to test a product, because we just don't do it. Now, we're talking about a real small-scale test. And what you're going to learn is that even though we bought 5,000 names, we can't afford to mail to 5,000 people, because our budget won't allow us to. So we're only going to mail to a small percentage of those people and hope that we get we're going to structure our offer so if we only get 6 or 7 or 8 orders, it's going to generate enough capital to break even and to allow us to mail the other 4,000 letters that we have printed out.
I'm with you so far. I just have one more question,
okay,
and I'll sit down, at least for the moment. My other question to you is mailing a direct mail letter to an audience for a product yet to be determined the only elements of the model you are willing to consider for that $1,000?
At this point, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, remember now, John, you're much more sophisticated in these things than most people in here.
Well, I would consider a $1,000 test high for me.
You're tight.
Yeah. Is this a test?
The mic works.
Yeah, I think there's an echo back here.
I think it's $575 because it's $15 credit card buyers.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to call somebody like Karen Anderson and say, Karen, this is what we're going to do. We want to buy the whole list, but we want to test it first. I know that the price is $575, but surely you can work out some kind of deal for us. And Karen said, yeah, I don't know if I can or not, but I'll call the folks. And you'll negotiate something, and if you have to, you'll go borrow $75 from somebody so that you can get the right list. But again, buying the list that you want, the specifics, if you have to pay $75 extra just to get the credit card buyers, is it worth it? Especially if we're selling something that costs $300. Is it worth $75 just to get one order if we're selling something for $300? And we're going to show you, in a minute we're going to figure out the product. Okay. Okay, remember in our list here, we know they're buying gold and silver. And we have a budget here. We've only got $400 and some odd left to spend. That means we can't spend much for a product. Matter of fact, we probably can't spend anything at all to inventory products. And we shouldn't, because we're not in a warehouse organization. We probably can't afford to create a product either, because we can't afford to have a copywriter come in. What we're going to have to do is find an existing product that, like Gary Halbert said yesterday, is underexploited. A product that these guys desperately want, but don't know about. We've got to find something that they want, but don't know about it. Now, we know that they buy gold and silver. And for those of you who don't know the gold and silver market, most people who are buying gold and silver are just slightly paranoid. They're saying, I really don't want to put my money in a bank. Maybe gold is a better place to do it. And most of these people get very, very paranoid newsletters. They get the Gary North letter, and Gary North says the Civil War is going to erupt in next month, and the stock market is going to crash tomorrow, and if you'll send him $189, he'll tell you how to survive through it. And they get these things over and over and over and over and over. So these guys are naturally paranoid. And then if they read the daily paper and see the banks collapsing, you'll see, I mean, their paranoia gets reinforced by what they see in the news. So we need to know that these guys are slightly paranoid. These are men, remember, that's why I'm calling them guys. They're slightly paranoid. So we're going to use that when we write our offer. But more importantly, we ought to use that when we find a product. So, what do these people want? Let's write that here. Karen, you going to write that over? What do they want? Answer that question. We got the thing done. What do they want?
Safe.
That's good. A safe or some kind of security? Security, peace of mind. That's good.
Home.
A what?
Hope.
No. Nope, we're not going to sell them hope.
You're not going to sell hope?
No, these guys are
hope.
Paranoid people don't want hope. They want the end to happen tomorrow so they can dig their
grave. Well, it could be different kinds of hope. It could be libidinal hope.
We want something to do with our gold and silver buying habits, though. Well, what is it that they want? I mean, the safe was a good idea. Everybody wants a safe, but, you know, we're going to have a hard time shipping a vault across country.
They want to build wealth.
They want what?
Build wealth, or they want to gather assets.
Build wealth. Build wealth. Or, you know what? As this goes along with the safe, they want to keep what they already got. When people reach 40 and 50 and 60 and have accumulated wealth, they're to the point where they want to say, look, if I can just keep what I got, I'll be happy. I mean, there are a lot of people who will reach that point.
They want something. They want
something. Yeah, sit the mute buttons on.
Okay, they want something tangible that they can hold in their hand
that says,
I am safe as long as I have this.
Oh, good. They want something put in their hands and hold. Because they're buying gold and silver. They're not buying stocks and bonds or pieces of paper or putting money in a bank. They want something they can hold in their hands that they can lock in their little box and put underneath their bed. They want something tangible.
Okay, Bill? I think they want their fears justified, too. This is the way I would approach it anyway.
Fears justified. Boy, that's great. Anybody who's paranoia, you read the paper looking for things that reinforce your paranoia. John Carlton is one of the best guys in the world. He can write a paranoia piece that'll scare you to death. And if you're slightly paranoid...
I scare myself.
Yeah, he scares himself.
I bought gold at $500 an ounce. I was in 87.
I'll tell you what else they want. People who are paranoid think they're in a small elite class of people, that they know what other people don't know. It's that inside knowledge. So they want somehow to have inside knowledge.
How about a gold and silver tester?
What a cute idea. That just comes right out of the seat. That's out of the ether. I like that one. Write that down.
No, don't write that down.
I like that. Gold and silver tester.
Go ahead, John.
I was wondering if this I got so wound up in that really brilliant idea. I totally forgot what I have to turn my head again, get another idea.
So who's out in the ether, John?
I wondered if the kind of paranoia that these people would... I don't know. Teaches
okay.
Me to make fun.
Now what we're going to do at this point, we're going to stop our selection. Okay, so we know what these guys probably want, but we don't have a product for that. So what do? We don't look for products. We don't look at Walmart. We don't look at Kmart. We don't look anywhere our target audience can go buy it. Right? Why should they buy it from us if they can go buy it at Walmart or Kmart? We've got to find something that they have never seen before, but they desperately want.
I remembered my question. do these people subscribe to the Gary North letter and Howard Ruff when he has one?
Right.
And are they hard money newsletter people?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, then they like, didn't they do this, didn't... I haven't made one single nasty remark today about your giggle, so I think you ought to let up on me a little. Didn't they do this pearl thing that was real successful where these men bought these pearls for their wives? Or because they could, this could just not necessarily be for them.
Yeah,
it might be a gift. And 40-year-old men and above with, their amino acid chains not working the way as good as they used to. They might, for instance, pay more for something, you know, that keeps on giving or love is forever or any of that shit. So it is possible also for it to be a gift as well as a wealth-building thing, as long as it has enduring value and is authentically what it is.
Yeah, enduring value. Gift really doesn't work well and direct mail offers in most cases. This is something I want to say. I just thought of, you know, yesterday y'all were saying, what can you sell for $10,000 through direct mail? We have somebody in this room who bought a condo in Switzerland through a direct mail offer. How many did they sell, Karen? How many condos? In Switzerland. Direct mail only. This is a direct mail offer for a condo in Switzerland. For cash, sight unseen.
That was 117 they sold.
117. What was the price on that? Because I think I got the offer and I was interested in it. I didn't have the money. Now see, they targeted their market. They found people who had the money, who were paranoid, who saw reasons that it might be a good place to live in Switzerland at some point in the future, and they also made a very limited offer. When these were gone, there would be no more. Yeah, exclusivity. These were the only condos ever built in Switzerland, I think, that could be owned by American citizens because of the real estate laws over there. So you don't have to, I mean, don't just think that you have to have a $300 item. I think they're $185,000, weren't they? Or some price like that? Okay. Hey, turn to your ideas page. John's going to give us a good idea. What we're going to do first, and then we're going to do first is generate enough capital to go do the endorsed mailing.
Because we can do it this way. We can test this way. We can test on this budget. This is cheap.
No, you can't test on the endorsed mailing because they want too much money. But what we're doing is we're starting with a small budget of $1,000. We're going to turn that into $30,000, and we're going to take that $30,000 and either make a lot of money with it or learn a big lesson. Hopefully, we're going to make some money with it. All right. We're going to go back to product development. We know what these guys are buying. We're looking for something they haven't seen. We're looking for something they can't buy at Walmart. They can't buy at local malls, but they've never been direct mail before. So what we need to do is buy something that's not generally available. We've got to find something that's not generally available to the public. And this is exactly what I did. I mean, this is a real-life story. This is what we did. So we said, well, where can we find something that's not generally available to the public? And I went down to my local jewelry store, and I said, can we order some stuff? And she said, well, we don't have it, but we have a catalog, and I can let you order from the catalog. And she whips out the catalog, and I quickly memorized the 1-800 number of the catalog. And I looked at the catalog and said, it's too expensive. I don't want it. I go home and call the catalog and say, look, send us your catalog. We're interested. And they say, are you a wholesaler? We said, yeah. That's all I said. We said, great, and they sent us a catalog. And in the catalog, it is a catalog of supplies and equipment sold only to jewelry stores. And the jewelry stores resell these to the public or use them as tools in their stores. And these companies are very small companies. They make very precise instruments that are only sold to jewelry stores. And they're very small-minded companies. They don't know how to market them to the rest of the world. So we found something, which somebody mentioned in here, which is a gold tester. And I've got one back here I'm going to show you. Karen, would you get the diamond tester? This is how it comes packaged. It looks real nice, doesn't it? Now, if you will look in your folder, you'll see something that says direct mail, marketing cost evaluation, and it says gold test equipment right here.
Bill, when you get a list like this, is it ever possible to find out what the mailing was and get a copy of that?
Oh, you bet. You bet. The question was, when you get a list from a list broker, and it says that the people bought on a mailing, is it possible to get a copy of the mailing that was sent to those people? Yes, it is possible. The best way is, like Karen Anderson said, get yourself on every list out there. I mean, subscribe to it. I'm going to pull a box out in a little bit to show you the junk mail that we got last week. Do you see this sheet of paper right here? It's a spreadsheet and has a picture of a gold tester on the bottom of it. The top of the spreadsheet says direct mail. You got a copy here. Everybody found that? It's in the box. It's in the back of your folder. On this side of the folder, behind some of the direct mail offers, you'll have two of them. One of them says catalog, and one says direct mail. Why don't you start that up in case they don't find it? That's a good point. You can look in, if you don't want to go to jewelry stores, what you can do is that you can get a magazine of people, of products, I mean, like a gold bug magazine, and look at that magazine, but you don't want to take products out of that magazine.
Well, now, I was suggesting that possibly for ideas to...
Right, it will give you ideas, there. But what you said kind of gave me another idea. Go to a trade show, a jewelry trade show. Now, jeweler trade shows are great.
Because they're ready to buy. They're in heat.
Very neat. You'll find lots of neat stuff that you never knew existed, but stuff that if you feel that you want, there's probably a chance somebody else out there wants it. Did everybody find this? Well, what you need to do if you want to get in a jewelry show, let's go down to a quick print, like Wayne Bennett's quick print here, and say, I need 500 business cards. What I want them to say is, what's your name there? Rita's Fine Jewelry. And put your home address and phone number, and when you go to a jewelry store, they'll say, we need some form of ID. And you go, well, here's my business card. Just turn that switch on. We're going to print you up some here. Hey, Jim. Oh, yeah, let's look us up. That is, let's look us up. There we go. No, and that's us. Great, thanks a lot.
Bill?
Okay. Hey!
It is not necessary.
Another way to track down that information about trade shows and whatever is a catalog called the NTPA, National Trade and Professional Association. You look in there, there's an association for everything, from pickle packers to earth movers. Libraries will sometimes carry a publishing house called Columbia Publishing in Washington, D.C. has that. But
if you also look in your direct marketing magazines, the ones that we passed out, they're in your boxes, you'll see the book advertised in there.
Yeah, and you can get all of it's NTPA, National Trade and Professional Associations.
Now, what I would suggest you do is have a press pass made up. Those of you who subscribe to our newsletter, you get press passes, right? Free press passes. When you go to a trade show, don't even try to pay. Don't even try to go to the front gate. Just call them and say, I need a press pass. And they'll give you a free ticket inside. A press pass will allow you to go to all the open bars, allow you to go anywhere in that trade show. No one will stop you. No one will ask you questions. You can get in free any trade show, so you don't need your business card. Just have a press pass that we wear. Another place to look is books like this, the Wholesale by Mail catalogs. And this lists companies and manufacturers that sell everything. And so you see this book? This book is 99 cents. You can get it at the outlet mall here in town. They have a half price sale on this week, so you can get it for 49 cents. The reason this book is 99 cents is because there's something called remainders. And booksellers buy back books that stores can't sell, and those are called remainders, and you can buy those by the pound. Now, the store that sells this for 99 cents makes a profit on it, to give you an idea of what you would pay for them. And I'm going to talk later about how to create products, how to buy these at 99 cents and sell them for... I mean, how many people would give me $20 for this book today? Not enough of you. But I get the point is that you can buy books by the pound and resell them like that if you want to buy the rights. Okay, now those of you who didn't get your gold test sheets...
Bill, can you give that to regular bookstore?
Yeah. The Wholesale by Mail catalog, this is a 1990 version, you want to get a 92. It is by the Print Project, Harper & Row. Thursday I'm going to give you the how to contact Harper & Row, where they'll flood you with books they want you to sell. Matter of fact, we contacted Harper & Row about a book we wanted to sell, and they said it's out of print, but we'll tell you what, if you'll tell us you're going to buy 500 copies, we'll reprint it for you in the format you want, with the price you want. And you don't have to buy any up front. I'm going to show you that book later on. Okay. Gold test equipment. Who's got a nice deep voice in here? I want somebody to read this description.
Okay.
Yep. Karen, would you give Brian a mic? And I'm going to tell you the story about this product. Listen to his description.
What part of this do you want me to read? The whole ad?
The whole description.
Gold test equipment. This is a cold reading. protect against undercarroting at a new low price. Here is a handheld, pocket-sized electronic gold tester that identifies 10K, 14K, and 18K gold. Will also read not gold, fast and accurate. The unit is an auto-off, a light-ready, and low-battery indicator. Comes with a rugged, hard-size carrying case, a one-year warranty. This is the least expensive, portable, electronic gold tester available. GT2000, introductory price, $299. GEL 2000 replacement gel for GT2000, sold in packs of two, $30 per pack. No guarantee, huh?
Right. I want you guys, now think of what these guys said. I mean, is this a selling point when you say, this is the least expensive portable electric gold tester available? Does that make you want to go out and buy one? I mean, they didn't say anything in here to make you want to buy it, did they? Now, this is the wholesale price to jewelers, $299. The suggested retail on this item is $399. Now what you have here is a complete spreadsheet. Thank you. This is a spreadsheet program, and in your folders is a computer disk that says Direct Mail Toolbox. And that spreadsheet program that created this is on that toolbox. And we're going to set the computer up here in a minute and do some spreadsheets on your ideas after we go through this one. The creative cost on copywriting, I didn't put anything here. We're going to actually put a copywriting fee. And this is how you determine whether it's worthwhile for you to sell something. Creative cost is zero. Other creative cost is zero. Normally your creative cost would be the cost it costs you to write the letter and get it typeset. The variable cost, the names per thousand, $85. I don't know what we said, but just look at the $85,000 price. The postage per thousand is $198. Now that's mailing bulk. And we're not going to mail our test offer bulk. We're going to mail it direct mail, first class, for a couple of reasons. One is we want a quick response. We don't want to wait 21 days for our money to come in. Plus, we can't afford to lose half the letters through the post office. Plus, when you sell a $300 item, go ahead and spend the extra 10 cents to buy a first class mail. Printing per thousand is $130. The envelopes, now I didn't include envelopes because we're going to direct address the envelopes ourselves, $30. Labor costs, we hire somebody that we just pay per day. We pay them $20 a day, and they can actually stick 10,000 labels on a day. But I went ahead and figured $20, and this is Hot Springs. Your cost is probably going to be higher. But $20 a day is what it costs us to get labels stuck on. So the total variable costs are $463. So we're still in budget, aren't we, except we had to buy all those labels. So we're probably about $888 if you include the fact that we had to buy 5,000 labels. This is where it gets good. Fulfillment cost. Rather than buy from this catalog or this guy selling this thing for $299, I contacted the manufacturer. And the manufacturer tells me that he'll sell them to me for $117. So we can remarket these for $117. The packaging cost is 70 cents. You notice it's in a hard case package, and all we have to do is ship it in, put it in a box or an envelope. The shipping cost is $3. That's assuming we pay it. The order taking cost is $1.20. That's what it basically costs for you to process an order and have somebody answer a phone. The cost of the premium, I'm not going to sell just this. I'm going to give them something else they want when they buy. It's going to cost me 18 cents. It's going to have a lot more value than 18 cents, but it's going to be a nice printed chart and a report and some other things. A bank card fee. You better figure your bank card fee in, especially on an item this expensive. Bank card fee at 5%, it means it's going to cost me $14 to process that credit card order. The returns at 2.5%, I always figure that even though we don't get returns, you need to figure it in. And other fulfillment costs, that's going to depend on your own situation, but it's going to cost us $143 to sell one of these. It cost us, don't forget that, it cost you $143 to sell one. product price. I have it here marked $289. But after thinking, I don't want to sell it for $289. I mean, that's below wholesale. And these guys, they deserve, I mean, they want this product. And we have an obligation to sell it to them. But we may not be doing this product a favor by selling it for $289. I think we ought to sell it for at least $369. And I'm going to hook up the computer here and reprint the spreadsheet out. But at the $289 price, just to let you know, the cost per piece to mail the letter is 46 cents. The total number of letters mailed in this test was 10,000. The sales needed to break even at 10,000 would be 31. Now, if you mailed 1,000 letters, how many sales would it take to break even? 3.1. The profit on a 3% response, and that's for a mailing of 10,000 letters, would be 38,000. The profit on a 5% response, this is after all your expenses, would be 67,000. If we just mailed 1,000, our profit would only be about $3,800. But what do we do with the $3,800? We go ahead and mail the other 9,000 letters we couldn't afford to on our limited budget. And then we actually do get to make $38,000. And what do we do with that $38,000? We at least put $1,000 back in our bank account, the $1,000 we started out with, to pay ourselves back. And then if we get more quality, names of the same quality, we continue mailing. I mean, if it works once, what do? No, you stop, right? I mean, that's what everybody does. It works once, you stop. No, actually, if it works once, you do it again, and then do it again. But while you're doing it, what else are you doing? You're looking for a follow-up product to sell the same people. And in that same catalog, and this is not on your spreadsheet, I found a diamond tester. Anybody here got a diamond ring on? A real diamond ring, because I don't want to embarrass you. Bring it up here.